May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, world maker, pain bearer, life giver. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine God standing behind you, but holding a mirror in front of you. Imagine feeling the warmth of that embrace and seeing, as you look in that mirror, really seeing what is reflected in the light of God's presence. Imagine seeing all that you are, all that God has created in you. Now imagine the voice of God saying, I only created one like you. I have given you so much. Look what you have done with all that I have given you. That is the way judgment is supposed to be. But sometimes we hear those same words like this. I only created one like you. I've given you so much. Look what you have done with all that I have given you. Same words, completely different story. Judgment is supposed to be the experience of seeing yourself for who you really are and hearing God's voice calling you to the fullness of what God created you to be. And judgment is not about condemnation, like the second voice that we heard. It is the voice, the first voice, an affirmation that we were all created in the image of God. And that is meant to incite us to action, to inspire us to share our gifts and live into the fullness of who God intends us to be. And condemnation, when we feel that, comes not from God, but from ourselves. When we waste our gifts, when we lack initiative or esteem, when we can't love or accept ourselves for who we really are, when we can't see our gifts as gifts, or feel that they are not worthy to be shared. It is when we hear our own voice of self-reproach that God's judgment comes to us as condemnation. And ask yourself, when do we feel most acutely the voice of judgment in our lives? When we are anxious, uncertain, when we are afraid what the end will look like. In other words, now. Because whether it is the end of this pandemic, or the end of our lives, or the end of everything, judgment comes to us as a mirror that is held before our eyes, where we are called to see clearly what God is calling us to be. Just look at the readings that we heard today. The Israelites are deep in the thickets of judgment, yet again. It's the time of the judges, and if you think 8 months is a long time to wait in uncertainty, the Israelites in today's reading had been under the yoke of oppression for 20 years. So they cry out to God for help. And true to form, God sends into the midst of their uncertainty one whom they would least expect to lead an army to thwart Sisera and eventually end Jabin's tyranny. It is Deborah, the prophetess, who sees most clearly in all of this, unclouded by Israel's fear and anxiety about how it's all going to end. she can see what God is calling them to be. And just as an aside, Deborah has such an influence on her people that along with the Ruths, the Miriams, and the Esthers, she pushes against the papyrus ceiling and finds her way into the canon of Scripture. It was a time of profound anxiety for Israel and uncertainty. They feared the end, and they feared God's judgment. And yet God helped them to see clearly what they were called to. Look at Thessalonians that we just heard. Paul had visited this community and converted them to their life in Christ. They have been inspired by Paul to see clearly that they are God's beloved. But in this reading, they're unclear, uncertain, and anxious about the end, fearing the judgment that is to come. So Paul dispels their fear of that darkness by telling them, as we heard in that lovely collect, which echoes that sentiment, that they are children of light, and reassures them about those who have already come to the end, those whom they love but who have died. In other words, Paul speaks to all the endings of our lives and says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him." So in all of our fear about all of our endings, God will help us to see what we are called to, not destruction or condemnation, but mercy and renewal. Yes, we don't know what any of our endings will look like, but like labor pains, the image that Paul uses, what will emerge from our fear and darkness will be something miraculous. That is God's promise. And in today's gospel, judgment comes to us in a parable, as the mirror is being held up to how three slaves confront anxiety and uncertainty about the end time when the master returns and demands an accounting. The master trusts each of them with a princely sum, each according to their abilities. Now, two of them are crystal clear about their calling. There is no fear, no anxiety. The master has given them riches, and they are to spread that wealth in the marketplace and make it bear fruit. Both of them double the investment, are entrusted with more, and enter into the joy of their master. But the last slave, he looks in the mirror and does not see the master or himself clearly. He's already predetermined that the master is harsh. He's afraid and anxious about what he is being called to. So out of fear, he buries his talent, bears no fruit, and fails to respond to the master's calling. These readings are so timely and topical for us this day, aren't they? At this time, perhaps more than any other, the people of God and all the peoples of the world have had an opportunity to reflect. To reflect on so many of the endings that we fear, and to examine ourselves and our world to see clearly where we have fallen short of the glory of God, and to hear authentically what God is calling us to be. This is a time of judgment, yes. But like any end time, how we hear those words is everything. I believe that God's desire for us, shining through this gospel, is that we make decisions in our lives, in our relationships with one another, and for our world, not based on fear, but based on the truth of what we see when we look in the mirror. People created in the image of God, who are called to continually fashion their lives into Christ's likeness and be his hands and feet in the world. So as we hold up a mirror to the world and to our own lives today, what do we see? And what is God calling us to? Well, we can bury our heads in the sand regarding COVID-19 as it continues to overwhelm us, especially now that case counts are higher than when we started. And we can be paralyzed by this pandemic because we are afraid, either of the virus killing us or the economy dying. Or we can embrace the challenge that maybe God is calling us to a new way of being church in the world, and a new way of relating to one another in our common humanity, and that we may never get to go back to the way things were in the before times, but that rather we are being prepared for something new. And after stark inequities in racial justice that have come to light in these past months, even though they've been with us the whole time, after repeated acts of violence and prejudice against people of color and our indigenous communities, we can be petrified into inaction because we are afraid. Because we are afraid to say or to do the wrong thing, or because we don't know what to do. Or we can embrace the challenge and, like the Deborahs and the Pauls in our tradition, we can proclaim God's clear call to justice in all that we say and do as church. But back to where we began. I hope that we hear God's judgment in this moment, not as condemnation, but as the experience of seeing ourselves for who we really are and hearing God's voice calling us to the fullness of what God created us to be.